This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. Yesterday, Bethel musher Pete Kaiser and his sled dog team took ninth place in the Iditarod. Facing challenges along the 1,000-mile race trail from Willow to Nome, Kaiser crossed the finish line with half the dogs he'd started with. But as KYUK's Samantha Watson reports, there was a lot to be excited about this go-around, especially in Kaiser's last few minutes on the race trail.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pete Kaiser!
Sliding to a stop under Nome's burled arch, Pete Kaiser is bundled beyond recognition. He's suited up against the wind. He looks like an astronaut landing from space.
He's in there, I know he's in there.
Kaiser is another kind of traveler, traversing the subarctic wilderness quite alone for 10 days with his team of dogs. His eyebrows are heavy with icicles. He scoops his kids and family into his arms before showing the race marshal the bag of tools required for such a rigorous trip. It's the 38-year-old musher's 15th running of the Iditarod and a return to the roster after taking last year off.
Pete, you're finishing in ninth place in 10 days, 3 hours, 35 minutes, and 32 seconds. Welcome back to Nome!
Thank you.
Earlier in the day, Kaiser appeared poised for a 10th place finish. But in the final 10 minutes of his 10-day race, Kaiser ran head-to-head with Canadian musher Michelle Phillips. Kaiser began to close the gap along the final 2 miles of Bering Sea Ice Trail before ultimately pulling ahead of Phillips, securing 9th place. Not long after Kaiser, Michelle runs into the chute, and her dogs and Kaiser's dogs share a brief bark of surprise, or maybe athlete's relief. Like, nice game, nice game. The 9th place victory is another notch in Kaiser's history of consistently ranking within the top 10 finishers in the field. 7 years ago, Kaiser pulled even farther ahead, taking first place as the Iditarod champion. This year's title went to musher Jesse Holmes, who won his second consecutive race late on March 17th. It was Kaiser's first Iditarod run since becoming a title holder champion of his hometown race, the Kuskokwim 300. He registered for the Iditarod just 3 weeks before its start, telling KYUK that he felt, quote, like going down the trail again. And after this year's Kusko training with good winter conditions on the Delta, he said he felt his team was well prepared. Kaiser was happy to reach Nome and its little luxuries.
Gonna warm up, take a shower, eat some food, and sleep for more than 2 hours.
Kaiser said out there, it was one of the best Iditarod trails he's seen, especially from the top of Rainy Pass through the finish. Kaiser's starting team of 16 dogs was a blend of Iditarod veterans and younger athletes.
It's a fun group of dogs. The young ones are just, you know, super energetic and eager and hard pulling, and the old ones were fun to watch. They just knew what they were doing.
He says his lead dog, Delmer, who has run 6 Iditarods with the team, holds an impressive knowledge of the landscape. He says, passing through Gullivan, Delmer kept going, remembering that the White Mountain checkpoint and its hours of rest were around the corner.
Usually dogs start to question at that point, like, oh, what are we doing? Why didn't we stop here? And I could tell he was just like, nope, we got 16 more miles and we're going to get an 8-hour break. So it's cool to see that.
At the Unalakleet checkpoint along the second half of the trail, Kaiser told Iditarod Insider that the race had shaped up to be, quote, a tough Iditarod for his team. Along the trail, several dogs on Kaiser's team became sick. Kaiser began dropping dogs early in the race and appeared to supplement by taking extra rest at or between checkpoints to allow his reduced team to recoup.
Just didn't come together the way we'd hoped, with a little bit of bad luck and whatnot, but that's Iditarod, really.
He says after managing the sick dogs, he realized positioning was something he'd let go of. But working the team up the coast, Kaiser says it felt like they could maybe sneak their way into the top 10 again.
It wasn't like super critical, but the dog's performance at the end was more important, but we ended up getting both, so that's good.
Crossing the finish line, his 8-dog team appeared perky and were soon rewarded for their 1,000-mile triumph as Kaiser dispersed chunks of meat. Since the speed of life has picked up, Kaiser, who used to train all season with the race in mind, says the Iditarod has become a year-by-year decision.
It's hard to explain, really. I think it's one of those things that when you're not doing it, you think of all the really fun parts of it, and then when you're doing it, you're just busy with all the really hard parts of it.
He says come summer, he finds himself dreaming of the trail.
It's not exactly like a vacation, you know. It's like people before the race are like, have fun, go have fun. Like, I'm not really here to have fun. I'm here to get to Nome, you know. It's really tough.
He says, though, that back on the trail, it's the people, the volunteers and folks at checkpoints he's gotten to know over the years, who he'll remember fondly. That and the thing itself, says Kaiser, being out on the trail, traveling by dog team across Alaska, make for something pretty remarkable. At the finish line in Nome, I'm Samantha Watson.
The North Slope community of Kaktovik is known as the polar bear capital of the U.S. Hundreds of tourists used to flock to the Inupiat village of about 250 people to see the bears. But about 5 years ago, the tours were halted because of opposition from residents. Alonia Niden with the Alaska Desk has more on what happened to the tours and what the community is doing to revive them.
It's polar bear ground right there.
Nathan Gordon Jr. is driving his truck on the spit right outside of Kaktovik. He's mayor and leads the town's polar bear patrol program. Under his back seat, he has a shotgun, and in his console, shotgun rounds and cracker shells.
They're explosive rounds, both of them. I have those ones, then lethal rounds in the front, and then less than lethal rounds in here. So I keep them separate.
Kaktovik sits on Barter Island on the Beaufort Sea coast, offshore from the Arctic Wildlife Refuge. In late summer and fall, up to 80 polar bears come on land, a trend that has been increasing as the sea ice diminishes. That brought the need for patrol and created opportunities for polar bear viewing that flourished before the pandemic.
It was booming during the fall time. Like, the whole 3 months would cover the other 9 months of money that was made at the hotel.
But in 2020, the pandemic put a pause on visitation. Then the federal government halted the tours following significant community opposition. They never reopened. Gordon says Kaktovik leaders have been working to revive them.
I'm excited for tour season to be back, both for the community and those who work for it. Let's get this place back to making money, and it'll be great for everybody.
Kitil Reitan was among those who caught the polar bear tourism wave. A prominent Norwegian musher who repeatedly competed in the Iditarod, Reitan lived in Kaktovik for decades and started the company Kaktovik Tours in 2010.
We started in very small scale and it grew every year. And the last year, the whole season was almost fully booked. So it was very popular and clients were very happy to come and see the polar bears in Kaktovik.
By 2019, he says he and his two children took several hundred tourists a season on their two boats. A rare economic opportunity in a village with limited jobs.
We were able to make a year income in about 6 weeks.
Reitan was not alone. At least five Kaktovik companies offered polar bear tours, according to the city's comprehensive plan. The number of tourists soared from about 50 in 2010 to over 1,000 in 2015. But Kaktovik polar bear tourism grew so quickly, residents were worried it was interfering with subsistence practices and disrupting life in the village. While many guides were local, there were also outside companies that flew tourists for a day without spending money in the community. Nora Jane Burns is a former guide who also helped found Polar Bear Patrol. She says that some tourists and guides approached bears too closely or even fed and baited them. But the main source of pushback to tours was an argument that visitors would book out seats on small flights and limit the amount of freight that was coming in.
That was the catalyst that kind of got everybody, especially when we have elders that go out for medical, and then when they try to come back, the flights would be booked.
The COVID-19 pandemic shut down the tours. And a year later, the U.S. Department of Interior issued an order to pause commercial polar bear viewing permits until the effects of the industry were more defined. Since then, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the agency that oversees boat tours, has been collaborating with the city and village of Kaktorvik, as well as Kaktorvik Inupiat Corporation. They have been working on a management plan for polar bear viewing. Gordon says that this time around, he wants the community to develop infrastructure for tourists and focus more on educating them through brochures, signs, videos, and in-person conversations.
Just putting out knowledge to those who come in would be the easiest answer to fixing tourism problems. I think we'll be way more prepared for tourism this time.
But who will run the tours? Burns is busy with her job at Kaktorvik Public Works Department, and Rayton sold his boats and moved to Nome. But they both hope the younger generation will take over polar bear tours, if and when they're back. With reporting from Kaktorvik, I am Alona Naidin.
This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yoktun Ganumchit coming up.